Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As of April 1st, a new Community Services and Police Act came into effect. The irony of the date did not get past Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. It was not an April Fool's joke by any means. The new legislation brings policing rules and regulations into modern times. It will mean greater accountability, more transparency, and a higher standard. The chief will explain how the new rules and regulations will apply to a smaller police force like Coburg. He will also talk about the impact on his officers, staff, and the Police Services Board. Plus, he will talk about any impact on taxes. I'm delighted to have Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks for having me.
Big picture. Is this new legislation going to change policing in Coburg or other smaller municipalities? Or is this just a lot of the inside the ballpark stuff that most people won't notice the difference?
Both. So in policing, we've had adequacy standards for quite some time, but when the act was originally introduced in 1990, obviously it was well written for that time, and obviously after so many years an update was due. So this is some of the same, and we have been working towards meeting adequacy standards and all of those things before this. But the new act is going to have an impact on small and mid-sized services across Ontario. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The changes in the training requirements, some of the performance metrics, some of the expectations, and the expectations are good. For the folks in Ontario, they should feel reasonably well that if they're in Coburg, that a level of service would look like this. And should they be in Kingston, that the level of service would be the same. So the community expectations are really what this act is trying to address. And but there will be, there could be at the end of the day, some financial impacts for smaller mid-sized services for sure.
All right. But if I'm a downtown business person, or I'm somebody that's looking to see more police cars on the street, or if I'm expecting to see more officers walking around, is this going to impact that aspect, the things that I see day to day?
No, there is obviously some of the changes to the oversight. So when there's issues around how police are interacting with the communities, that, and if it's not necessarily always positive, so there's a few changes that way. The Ontario Civilian Police Commission, that was sort of that policy governance of policing services and boards, that's no longer in existence. We have the Inspectorate of Policing, which has some broader oversight considerations. But to your point about the walking the beat, if you will, there is a brand new regulation around special constables and the use of special constables, which in part may impact how we use them in Coburg. To this day, I don't see it as a great change, but there might be some trials as we kind of grow into the new legislation in that. The community safety well-being plan, which is already well in place in Northumberland County, we were aware for years this was going to be an essential element. So that is now embedded as of April 1st. If a municipality didn't have one, they would have had to get going to get one done. So there's another lane where people can really say, kind of help direct and help steer how policing is particularly delivered in a community. The boards, there's new expectations of boards, both in their composition and in their authorities and powers, and where they've gained some teeth, if you will, or some strength in strategic planning and creating what a strategic plan could mean for a police service. So there is some impact on what that downtown foot patrol officer will look like.
Okay, there was a lot in there, and I'd like to tease some of that out so that we better understand. But I understand, before we get into that, that there were a lot of meetings that took place. The government held over 30 consultations with municipalities, the public, as well as the police. Were you directly involved in any of those consultations?
Yeah, I was very honored to represent the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police on what we at that time called the technical table. And it was the technical table to recreate the special constable regulation. The use of special constables in Coburg has always been very innovative, and our tiered policing model has been very effective, and it was seen as a best practice, obviously. So the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police asked me to sit with the Provincial Police Association of Ontario, the senior special constables, and many, many stakeholders. And we actually were the ones that sat for, we started to meet in person before COVID. And a bulk of the work was done virtually throughout COVID. And it wasn't until the final meeting that we all came back together one time to kind of flesh it out. And the regulation that we currently have for special constables obviously can't be everything to all people, but it, I think, does definitely meet the themes that all services try to put forward as being important, and how we use and how we employ, how we train, and how we hold accountable special constables, which is far more defined.
This is a massive change. I mean, it's a huge document. I understand there's like, 263 sections to it?
Yep.
Now, you've given us some of the broader topics, but how specific does this huge document become? I mean, how does a police force like Coburg integrate these kinds of smaller changes that are going to be demanded? I mean, there's just so much going on in that document. How do you, as an organization, start to implement those kinds of things?
Well, there's good and bad, like everything, you know. I always like to be positive, but this regulation has been, this legislation has been kicking around for quite some time. We've already gone through, it started under the former Liberal government. So we had the opportunity to see this, but, you know, like here we sit a week or so out from when the legislation will be in place. And I'm telling you, we're not ready for some of these things, in the sense that some of the regulations haven't even been finalized yet. So government recognizes, policing recognizes that some of these other regulations are going to take time, but we had some ideas. So we were able to think. So the active shooter regulation, so there's in every police car, there has to be new equipment to address those issues of active shooters. Those, I guess, for sense and purposes, that sudden, spontaneous shooter who goes to a school or a mall or a parking lot. And so we, over the last two budgets, we've made sure that we have the appropriate equipment in cars, so they're ready to go. So we've already met that regulation. So what we have is, we have great people, and I've always said that, in the Coburg Police Service. I got a great team here. We're piecing it apart. There's other areas we're not so good on, and we can only do so much at a time. But overall, we've lived to adequacy standards prior to this new act. This is ramping it up a little bit. And our kind of next big steps are, there are some things we're just not going to be able to do here because we're a small service. So we're not going to be able to create our own public order unit. We're not going to be able to create our own tactical unit. So we're going to have to formalize our relationships with the Ontario Provincial Police, Peterborough Police Service, Durham Regional Police, and the like, and create strong MOUs. So overall, we're just ripping it apart one step at a time, and recognizing that the Inspector General is not waiting at the 401 and Coburg to swoop into Coburg and start doing audits. We know there'll be time and space to meet these things. The board has been very actively training. So as far as the training requirements, I believe my board is completely compliant already with the training requirements. The community safety well-being plan, we already got that in. We're already acting that. We're already doing that. I've been fortunate to work for a board who believes in strategic planning. So our strategic plan is as good as it needs to be. So overall, Rob, I'm anxious. I said I had just this week, we hosted the chiefs and deputy chiefs from small and mid-sized services all over Ontario. And we have a concern. We have a concern that when government created this legislation, I don't think they looked at what the cost of some of this stuff was going to be and who's going to bear the cost. So that is an overall concern that small and medium-sized services have. And we were very fortunate to have Parliamentary Secretary Christina Hogarth here as our keynote speaker on behalf of the Solicitor General. And she heard loud and clear that that was some of our concerns. So government does still have time to recognize the importance of small and mid-sized services in Ontario.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions is, you know, what financial impact is this going to have? I mean, in the last budget, your your line item was one of the biggest line items in the entire budget. And I just wondered, is this going to be even greater now that we've got all these new regulations, all this new equipment, all this training that you've got to go through to start to meet these requirements? Do you have any idea of just how much or what the scope of it might be?
Yeah, I love talking to you, Rob. So I'll unpack all of that. That was great. That was, I felt like I'm on the defense stand again. So yeah, so the police service generally across Ontario has one of the larger line items and budgets. So I'll take that herring out of the pond. I will say that over the last couple of years, I'll remind everybody that we have been expending some of our corporate service revenue to get those equipments in cars and getting all those things up to date. So we're good that way. The training, we increased our training line over the last 2 years. And reason being is that we recognize that there's going to be an increase in the type of training. One of the officers that I asked for in this year's budget was identified clearly as an intelligence officer, because the new standard requires that within every criminal investigative unit, there will be a dedicated, trained, and qualified intelligence officer, which is a specific lane around crime intelligence and that kind of work. So we currently have our job posting up. I think it closes next week. So we'll select our officer. If that officer doesn't have all the necessary training, we've got the budget already in this budget to train that. So I want to thank the board and the council for hearing us. And it was a big ask. And I know it was a big ask, but part of that was to meet what we have been defined as adequate and effective policing under the new legislation.
You've talked about a lot of changes that sound administrative, sound like stuff that you look after, the deputy looks after, the board looks after, the municipality looks after. What about the rank and file? What is this legislation going to do that is going to impact the rank and file, and how?
Yeah, so let's first off, this is the biggest language, right? Like the suspension without pay legislation. I don't think it's reasonable to have a conversation. I want to first and foremost say that across Ontario and specific to Coburg, our officers do a great job, but occasionally we run into circumstances where people are needed to be held accountable for their actions. Policing across Ontario has advocated for a suspension without pay provisions for years. In fact, we're one of the few provinces that don't have that. So that is in that legislation. It is reserved for very specific cases, very defined cases, but that's new to the rank and file, right? The inspector general, the way the complaint system is structured, it will affect the rank and file. The ability to report misconduct, that is really a great power that's been impressed upon members of our service. So it's the stewardship model in the sense that if you see something wrong, say it. So we're starting to hold each other accountable as a group, and there's some protections for people who come forward in policing and to say that this needs to change or this is inappropriate. Some of our delivery models, the training required. So some of our officers won't be able to do certain calls unless they have the prescribed training. And there's no grandfathering. There's none of that. So we can entrust that any member of Coburg who is a victim of a significant crime or a specific crime, that the people who are investigating that crime, depending on the nature of it, will have the appropriate training. So it would look like an investigator in Windsor, Kenora, Cornwall, or Coburg. So that is going to affect the rank and file. So certain job opportunities may or may not be there for them until they get them some of the backup training done. So we've done a really good job here to really try to build out the benchmarks, requirements, the basic prerequisites for some of the specialized coursing. So some of the opportunities just aren't going to exist. Like I'm not going to be able to have a off the corner of the desk computer forensic investigator. I just can't do it. I just don't have the scope and capability to create what is required there. So I'm going to partner with another service for that.
Has the union come forward at all and raised any concerns to you directly?
Yeah, you know what? The great thing is that we have a very collaborative relationship with the Coburg Police Association and the Senior Officers Association. So they're at all of the training sessions. Most recently, the new ACT Summit was held, and it was the first time ever. It was a combined OAPSB, Ontario Association of Police Services Boards, Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police, and the Provincial Police Association of Ontario. All came together in the same huge hotel ballroom over 3 days. Excuse me, to talk about the act and the implications of it. So for us, staffing is the big thing. We need the right people. We need the right amount of people. So our association has been advocating very diligently for the increased staffing model. And we, in fact, at the last budget, we saw that have increased staffing. So, we work very close with our association and recognizing that.
This is, as I said before, a huge document. And you've mentioned a lot of things that are pretty much in the mainstream being talked about. What would you say are some of the highlights for you that have not been, again, talked in the general terms, but things that are specific within this that you feel are going to make a difference locally?
What would be that thing that's not highly talked about? You know, I'm going to come back to when we look at what the Act has to talk about and what it has to crime prevention, law enforcement, maintaining public peace, emergency response. What it is, I think the biggest impact is it is going to create a general standard for policing in Ontario. And I think that matters for Coburg, and it matters in this sense. We have some folks who have finished their careers in Toronto or Durham or wherever, and they come and they retire in Coburg. And they come with an expectation that the Durham Regional Police or the Toronto Police Service looked like this and felt like that. And how come Coburg doesn't? So that general standardization is going to be really, really important. The biggest impact, I think, for us right up front is connecting the strategic plan very closely to the community safety and well-being plan. And both documents, in my opinion, need to change. Both documents need to become a bit more reflective of what our community is telling us. So the new Act is creating a general standard, but it also is recognizing those regional differences.
You've mentioned a couple of times the community well-being plan. Could you just explain very quickly, a couple sentences, what that is in case somebody doesn't know?
Within the new Act, every community must have a community safety well-being plan. A safety well-being plan is what the community has said to whatever level of government is important to them. In ours, Northumberland County created it for all the lower tier municipalities. And the four themes that we need to be focusing on for community safety and well-being are homelessness, addictions, poverty, and mental health.
Does this legislation at all change what policing is? In other words, policing 34 years ago was one thing. Policing today, is it so different that this legislation addresses a more modern context or things that are different, or baseline, is it the same? Are police going to still be doing the same stuff?
We're going to be doing the same stuff. And the Act is going to, in my opinion, create a modernized and sustainable framework for policing in Ontario so that at every level of government, be it regional, upper tier, or lower tier, we can say with certainty, this is the acceptable standard, and local wills, desires, or politicians cannot steer it in a different direction. So it will be different. Again, Ontario has been fortunate. It has one of the most professional police services in the world. And I think this is just the next step in ensuring that.
Well, keeping with that theme of complexity, even smaller municipalities like Coburg are dealing with things like more mental health cases, drug overdoses, impacts of homelessness. And that's just a couple of things that you and I've talked about already. Does this new legislation make your role clearer or easier? Does it resolve the issues that you're facing today?
Yeah, the Act doesn't specifically speak to any one crime or any one social disorder issue. It obviously doesn't have its chapter and verse on how to deal with encampments. What it does is it talks about community engagement. What it does talk about is creating crime prevention. It does provide standards for how incidents are responded to. But with each unique circumstance, like again, the first Act was written in 1990, and it wasn't such that it even envisioned what we are currently facing today. And this Act was started about 7 or 8 years ago in its creation. And I don't think it recognizes the current issues that are facing us today. So at the end of the day, the Act is going to provide, in my opinion, strong framework for all interested parties in what policing needs to look like in Ontario to be effective.
You've raised concerns in the past about the handling of officers who are off on leave for various reasons. Has this been addressed by the legislation?
Yeah, again, we truly understand that there is wellness embedded within this act. So we expect, the Ontarians need to expect their officers to do a lot, and Ontarians need to also understand that our officers need a lot of support. The current issues in front of us in relation to the management of disabilities is not embedded within this act. But again, I'm chairing another committee where we are actually have a very collaborative table that will align with the adequate policing qualifications. In other words, you need to have the right amount of people on the road. Doesn't come out and say what that number is because every community is different, but we're down the path of looking at what we talk about adequate and effective policing. That includes having enough officers to respond to the calls for service in a timely manner and to ensure that those officers who need to have days off get them.
You've been critical in the past about there being a revolving door at the level of the courts. Has this legislation addressed the concerns that you've had about criminals who are getting out on bail, others who are being sent back out into the community only to reoffend?
This, again, the act doesn't get to that granular discussions around bail and violent crime, but it again does speak to a criminal crime management plan, which does include high-risk offenders, how high-risk offenders are managed. The government is well-founded in providing excess funding, which is always important to enact these things. So when you look at the adequate and effective, when we start talking about specific sections around law enforcement, that's where bail and violent crime needs to happen. But again, bail and violent crime sits at the Criminal Code of Canada. So it's beyond a provincial legislation. It's a federal legislation as well. So there's a lot more work to be done there, and we're no better off. Again, I sat around a table of over 40 services here just the last 2 days, and bail and violent crime is something that's in front of all of us.
With all these changes, and you've mentioned a couple of the shortcomings that you face because you're just a smaller police force, but is it time for Northumberland County to enter into talks to create a regional police force in order to get the scale and the resources to provide the service levels needed?
I'm going to say right now, bigger is not always better. So I know the larger services, the regional municipalities with Waterloo, whatever the name you want to put in it, is still struggling with trying to how do they're going to enact certain sections of this. So Northumberland County, we already have great partnerships with Port Hope Police Service. We already have great partnerships with Ontario Provincial Police. Just recently, drug arrest, it was Port Hope Police Service investigators and ours. What Northumberland County is going to look like in the future is really up for Northumberland County, I would suspect. Asking me to answer that question, I truly believe that the Corps of Police Service delivers a great service to its community. I believe the OPP do to their communities. And at the end of the day, it's not really for me to say. I recognize that partnerships come in all sorts. So it would not be uncommon for me to reach out to Peterborough Police Service to seek assistance of their drone operators. But I don't have to be partnered with the Peterborough Police Service to say that's what it is. But Northumberland County is going through an RFP process right now. I suspect that report will glean some recommendations. I've seen over my 33 plus year career, I've seen lots of these reports, and they always generally say the same three or four things. So I suspect that this report will say much the same, that there's all sorts of efficiencies, but there are also several costs to Northumberland County. Is a beautiful county, as we know. And if you try to create a regional police service for Northumberland County, there are the infrastructure are required for that is going to be substantive.
Where does it go from here starting April 1st?
April 1st, we just carry on like it's another day. I honestly think they should have chose anything but April Fool's Day to start this, but that's neither here nor there. We carry on. Like if any police service in Ontario woke up today and said, okay, we got to get ready for next week, don't do it. It's not practical. We've been at this for 2 years. We've been at the development of where we're at, how we're at, testing things, trying things over the last couple of years. We have work to do in front of us, but as I've given you some examples today, we've already got a lot of the good work done. So we'll continue to grow and develop. We're rewriting all of our policies right now. We hired an outside firm to help us, and they're working with us in Port Hope and a lot of other medium-sized services and smalls And we're really, I think we just presented at the last board meeting, we presented over 80 different updated policies and procedures. So we're at this game, right? Like we're at this, we didn't just wake up to say, oh, we better do this. And then the upper tier, the county, the town, everyone's working towards it. We've got the well-being plan. Like we're well embedded in that. The strategic planning process, we did the strategic plan based on the new act and made it a four-year act. So I always have said we're very proactive here at every level of this police service, from my newest officers to the board. And at the end of the day, April 1st will come and go, and we'll continue to strive. And as I said, the Inspector General is not waiting around the corner to shut the doors of the police facility. But we need to continue to strive to be better and to meet these needs.
Chief Paul Vandegraaff, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.